Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Let's Talk About It podcast. You may be listening and wondering, hey, didn't I just hear an episode from these guys earlier this week? And you're right, well, you did just hear an episode from us earlier this week. This is actually a special edition episode. It's not going to be very long, but it's going to be very, very important. And so I'm excited to say that I'm joined today by Elizabeth Wanning. Elizabeth is one of the directors of the Changed Movement here in our atmosphere. And she has been doing something really incredible and groundbreaking that we're going to tell you a little bit more about. She has been working. Actually, why don't you tell us, Elizabeth, what it is that you've been working on?
I'm enjoying your intro. Just
I was like, you know what?
Talk about it.
I think that Elizabeth would be a little bit better at explaining this than I would.
Well, you wanted to start by just talking about gender ideology and what's happening there. I mean, all of us at Changed Movement, our background is coming away from LGBTQ identities. Mm-hmm. So we've taken that path, chosen to follow Christ, and then walk away from LGBT culture. And so with that, we have an insight on gender ideology, which right now is, I would say, taking America by storm. This notion of, could you be a different gender than your biological sex?
Right. It's interesting because I think, you know, you've been hearing the phrase LGBT tossed around for decades now. It's LGBT, LGBT. And I think for a lot of people, they heard LGBT, but they thought LGB. And then in the last few years, T has taken the world by storm. And I think people are waking up and they're going, wait, what's happening? What's going on? What would you say how has that conversation shifted that you've seen in the last couple years?
Wow, that's a big question. Because I think so when I think of the LGBTQ movement, there are so many connotations with that. You could think of our friends who identify as LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. You can also think about the political activist movement or human rights campaign and that whole side of the LGBTQ movement. And lately we've been seeing a lot of transgenderism, but then within that we're pocketing like the drag queen story hour phenomenon.
Right.
And so there's a lot of really confusing ideas that are being rolled up into one when we say LGBTQ, right? Mm. And so really what we're talking about is the emergence of this belief that your gender is separate from your physical body. And now, you know, in years past, maybe up until the last decade, the transgender phenomenon has really been a very, very small sector of the LGBTQ culture or LGBTQ community, if you want to call it that. The notion that you have a different gender than your biological sex would disclose has always been less than 1% of the LGBTQ community. But now suddenly, really, I think somewhere in the time around when gay marriage became legal across the United States, and Caitlyn Jenner appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair, then this new phenomenon of transgenderism really hit the popular imagination. And now instead of kind of individuals who have maybe identified somewhere within the LGBTQ community and decided to transition, or from a young age felt like they were in an incongruent situation and transitioned, this little subset burst onto the scene among youth. Mm. So this notion of children transitioning, like age 10, for example, saying, I know I have a girl's body, but actually I'm a boy, and now I'm going to use maybe medical technology in order to transition my physical body to be united with what I feel on the inside. This is a really new phenomenon, the notion of children transitioning. That's totally new, or relatively new.
Do you think, I've heard so much commentary because of the way that the statistics have so drastically changed from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you take the millennials, you would see about 10% of the population would identify as somewhere on the LGBTQ.
Or less.
Or less, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Gallup, I'd say 7%, 7 to 10%.
Right. Whereas we're starting to see the last I saw was 30% mm-hmm. of Gen Z is now identifying that way. And I go, okay, something very drastic has happened. And a lot of people would say there's a social contagion element involved. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the social contagion argument has any, has credence, an effect
like,
here?
Is it effect?
Yeah.
You know, I think in some cases it definitely has, mm-hmm. is a conversation point we need to think about. Particularly among young girls, you know, when right. we talk social contagion, the number of young girls who have identified as transgender and are transitioning to identify as male has increased. I think in the UK, the latest statistic I saw was an increase of 4,000% in the number seeking hormone therapies. And so the phenomenon among young girls in particular seems to be a social contagion. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just for clarity, anorexia was considered or has been considered a social contagion. Mm. And so the idea you kind of get caught up into this belief system about yourself. So with anorexia, it's body dysmorphia. You think that you're fat where you're actually quite thin. Mm-hmm. Is a similar kind of experience that these girls who are experiencing transgender feelings of they're now rejecting their body in a sense. Mm. But, you know, I think the notion of transgender identity is very complex because in our culture, we've done a lot to make gains of equality between men and women and to reevaluate, say, the roles of women in culture or the roles of men in culture. And there have been really great things to come out of that. You know, we have fathers who are willing to stay home with their children while their wives are successful in the business world and vice versa. You know, so there have been a lot of great gains on gender equality, but that's becoming kind of this point of confusion of what actually is a man, what actually is a woman, because decades ago, we used those stereotypes to really understand the differences, and we understood the differences biologically based on the different social roles. So now if we remove all those social roles or call specific social roles stereotypes, then how do you figure out whether you're a man or a woman?
Right.
And children are being confused by this. Well, many adults are being confused by this. How do you discern whether you're a male or a female?
Totally. And I think about, you know, learned behavior. I'm like, the kids don't know whether to be confused about something unless they are learning to be confused about it from adults.
Right.
You know, if an adult is sure of themselves when they say, this is what a man is and this is what a woman is, then it leads to very little confusion for a child.
Well, yeah, I would say so. Now, there are cases mm-hmm. where for, I'd say, relatively unknown reasons. And I say that because there isn't a lot of scientific study focused on the development of transgender feelings among very young children. Mm. Like a lot of people who experience what we'd call scientifically gender dysphoria think of that in terms of beginning very young, like 3-4 years old. It's not uncommon to hear someone who has struggled with gender dysphoria to say, I knew this, or I had this feeling at that age. And there hasn't yet been a whole lot of study about what is going on there. Mm. Some would say, in the very least, a developmental issue is at hand,
right?
Like an attachment disorder or something like that.
Right.
And so there's this group of people who are really struggling as children, becoming comfortable in their own bodies and believing that they could be a different gender mm-hmm. than their sex. But then there's also this social phenomenon, these pressures of identifying within the transgender community or the LGBTQIA+ mm-hmm. community. These social pressures are also causing some of the factors that we're identifying where there's this huge escalation
totally.
Of people. I think that when I hear 30% of Gen Z identify as something LGBTQ, I think they're just trying to belong and be relevant,
right.
you know, or try things out, be exploratory and curious. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily in the camp that I was in when I first came out when I was a young woman.
Right.
As you know, and so I mean, and just to be clear, I once identified as a lesbian, for years, starting in my teenage years, questioning my sexuality, and then ultimately repented and made great changes from that point when I was in my mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. But that experience that I had of now suddenly having lesbian feelings, that was not in the context of a society that completely embraced lesbianism totally. And said, go
in
for it.
In fact, it was quite countercultural.
Absolutely.
At the time.
I mean, yeah. you moved to a major metropolitan area when you had that experience so that you could find the comfortability and belonging that you were seeking. Mm-hmm. That isn't happening right now. So there's so many conflicting messages that are happening right now.
Well, and I'm even thinking about, you know, potentially that subset of young girls who are facing these social pressures and, you know, maybe they've never shown signs of gender dysphoria until puberty. And then all of a sudden they've hit puberty. It's a confusing time. It's a confusing time for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and they're being met with a message of, well, maybe you are not the gender that you thought that you were. Maybe this was a social construct. Maybe this is something totally different. And the culture has been really loud on this issue.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question that's twofold. Because one of our goals here at Moral Revolution is to equip people with the tools that they need to walk in God's design for sexuality. And then we also want to be we want to be really clear on what the Bible says about sexuality. And so I wonder what would you say to someone who's listening to this podcast who says, oh, I have a family member, I have a close friend, I have, you know, someone in my world who has come out as transgender, and I'm really struggling with that conversation or how to approach this person. What would you say to that person? And then the second fold part of the question is, what would you say to the person who's listening who's going, no, that's me. That's me. And I'm struggling. And I don't know what is true or not true about myself and about what God would say about me.
Oh, that's good. You know, I think for those of us who have friends who are identifying as transgender, I think the first thing that we need to be doing is asking the Lord, okay, what is the posture that you carry, Jesus, of welcoming, of invitation, of safety that I can bring to my friend who identifies as transgender? And then get in your own heart everything that scripture says about the binary, male-female binary. I like to point to Jesus's teaching. So if you look at the whole Bible, I mean, it's relevant to know the whole scripture and to know what Genesis says about creation. But it's clear in Jesus's teaching that he spoke of men and women, that he saw differences between men and women. Like when he talks about sexuality, he's always talking about the context of relationship between a man and a woman. So Jesus doesn't reference a spectrum of genders, nor does he reference same-sex sexual relationships in the same way that he talks about male-female relationships. So I like to study, what did Jesus think? What did he teach to understand the binary? Mm. Everything, you know, the binary, according to Jesus, men and women together are reflective of God and his nature. And in Jesus's teaching in Matthew 19, he goes so far as to say, you know, man and woman, God has brought them together. No one should separate them. And when he says the two shall become one flesh, he's speaking of conception. He's speaking of the creation of a child through the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. That's a long conversation, the side conversation that we can go after. But okay, so understanding that God is intentional in his creation. God created every one of us with intentionality, with purpose, for meaning. Mm. And so understanding, okay, among our friends who have struggled with this issue or who have gone so far as to identify as transgender, knowing that God doesn't make those kinds of mistakes, God is very intentional in his design and creation of humanity, being able to offer that person grace and even peace in the presence of the Lord is important.
Wow.
So, I mean, I wouldn't ever ask a person to beat a person over the head with the gospel, or to declare that they are living in sin as if that's an invitational form of evangelism, right? No, don't do that. What you want to do is invite people to experience the Lord's presence yourself. You want to be blessing them, drawing them into the presence of the Lord where they can have an experience of the Lord's love that helps them get the revelation of their true identity that God has created. That's probably a longer side conversation that we can have, but I like to encourage people, just lean into curiosity. Focus on open-ended questions where you can discover, okay, well, tell me about this experience. When did you first feel this way? What is it like? What challenges does it pose? How can I be praying for you? How can I create safety for you? And allowing them also to ask those questions of you and your faith, creating this place of reciprocity where you can honor that person where they're at, but also where they take responsibility to honor you and your own faith. And so this place of dialogue is so missing in our culture.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is, we have such a great opportunity if we extend the mercy of Jesus into our relationships like that.
And is, I mean, it all kind of goes back to scripture where it says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance.
That's right. You know, ultimately, just like I did when I encountered the Lord and I began questioning my sexuality, that is, I began questioning whether I had been born gay. In the depth of my relationship with the Lord, there was meaning, there was purpose in Christ, but also there was the love of God. And it was that experience of the love of God that was the essential factor for me in my repentance journey. And so for Christians, meaning anyone within another cultural experience, we need to be remembering that the love of Jesus is what we want to draw people to experience.
That's so powerful.
But then, so additionally, you asked, what if you're questioning your own gender?
Yeah.
And I think that that could be one of the most frightening and difficult struggles that a person could have today. I mean, I try to imagine if you did not know whether you were a man or a woman. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, so
it's overwhelming.
You know, very overwhelming, very difficult, very frightening, I think. And so then, I want to encourage people who have that experience to recognize that your body is good, that God created your body. That the design of the human body is absolutely miraculous.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, to recognize that you are your body. Your brain and the whole, your whole hormonal system, your whole neurological system that creates the energy of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. Comes from your body.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So we are our body. Part of that is, for example, Jesus was incarnated. He came as a man. He could have come as a spirit.
Right. But he lived in a body. He was a body.
He was a body.
Yeah.
Our salvation through the cross comes because he had a body.
To hang on the cross for us.
That's right. So the incarnation of Christ is an essential component for Christians to understand what does it mean to be a person.
Wow.
And so when you're questioning your sexuality, if you're struggling with connecting with your body, which we all do. We all struggle to connect with our body.
Whether you ever question your gender or your sexuality or anything.
That's right.
Everyone has questions about their body and struggles with their body. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Or, you know, why can't I run 10 miles today? Or whatever the thing is. You know, we all have struggles. We all feel slightly disconnected from our bodies. That a measure of that is completely, I hate to use the word normal. But it's common.
But a common experience, yeah.
But then on top of that, to recognize that all of the beautiful things that you value about yourself are a product of your body. And so how can we come to love our bodies? Well, we have to appreciate that our character, our temperament, our personality, things that we sometimes might connect to our genetic heritage come from our body.
Wow.
You know, before we got started, you were talking about my basic demeanor, which is kind of low key, very laid back, right? And
absolutely.
And all of that is actually pretty genetic, and it's also a product of my body. And so we need, as Christians, to go on this journey of self-discovery that includes all of us.
Wow.
You know, in our current culture, it's easy to be virtualized.
Go into that a little bit. What does that mean?
So we can experience, we feel like we experience the whole world through the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And so now we become an avatar and we can create our own personality for the internet. And then we can be someone completely different at
home.
And
it almost feels safer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, so we have more control over that world in our avatar, what we create. So we virtualize ourselves.
Wow.
And I just want to encourage everybody in real life, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much heartbreak. Mm. So much heartbreak. And really for me, this is the beauty of following Christ, who he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so trusting the Lord is about placing ourselves in his hands and letting him shape our lives, letting him bring forward the giftings that he's placed in us and allowing us with partnership in Christ to express those so that we are fully actualized.
Yeah.
You know, we can be everything that God created us to be.
And that we can step into the abundance that he says he has for us.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Elizabeth, you have been really involved with this initiative called the Protect California Kids Act.
Protect Kids California Act.
Okay, I was close. I love it. Yeah. Which, if you are a California listener who's listening, this piece is really crucial for you. If you're someone who's like, I see what's happening in culture, and I just don't know what my place is at, how a place is in it. How do I make a difference? How do I join not the fight, but the conversation? You know,
right.
This is how you can get involved. So this act has three parts of legislation that are being proposed here in the state of California. Do you want to go into what those three parts are?
Yeah, that'd probably be good. Okay. So the Protect Kids California Act came together out of a bunch of parents groups across the state. Because what's been happening is out of the Capitol, there have been these ideological stances that are kind of pushing kids towards gender incongruence and gender nonconformity, gender ideology, as I've been calling it, but then also creating a barrier, a government-based barrier between children and their parents.
Right.
And that probably maybe one of the most frightening spaces is where children are being led to adopt a persona. They're virtualizing themselves in school.
Right.
And they are afraid for their parents to know. And so the school has agreed to protect that new identity from their parents. And so a child can come to school and be an avatar, basically. They can be someone new that they're creating.
Right.
And the parents never know. And so out of that, though, kids are being pushed towards taking hormone therapies and even ultimately getting mastectomies or other things happening surgically if you go all the way down the road of gender-affirming care.
Right.
And parents are being villainized in the process. And
kept in the dark and then villainized, which is the very people who are meant to protect their kids.
That's right.
Are being stripped of the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say that Christian parents have an investment in their children that some, non-believers might not understand. You know, Christian parents see their children as a real gift from God and one that they have a responsibility to steward and protect before Christ. And so then when you learn your children are kind of being stolen from you, the implications are huge. In light of that kind of movement across the state, these parents' organizations have come together to create this legislation. And now this legislation, these kinds of pieces, so it has three parts, like you mentioned. One part is protecting girls' sports and women's private sex-based spaces, along with gender ideology has come biological men in women's sports, but also biological women in men's sports, which is a topic not many are talking about, but is really just as egregious, in my opinion. And so there's a segment of the bill that...
Because if we're going to fight for women's spaces, we have to fight for men's spaces as well.
That's right. You know, I mean, young boys with girls in the locker room, that can also be frightening and shameful for them and can evoke all kinds of feelings. And so we need to think of it not only in terms of girls' sports, but so one segment is about these sex-based spaces and girls' sports being a protection of Title IX.
Okay.
One segment of the bill basically ensures that parents are notified that a child who is seeking, particularly seeking mental health care. So in the state of California, the age of consent for counseling is 12. So a 12-year-old can go to their school counselor and the parents may not be notified. Mm. And so that confidentiality that a child might have can lead to social transition and other things. And so this ensures that in from the school, the parent is notified if the child does start to transition. And then the third part is a prohibition on medical procedures, surgical procedures for minors.
Right.
So it says, you know, even if you reach it, if you reach the age of 18 after you've gone through puberty, mm-hmm. Then you have the right as an adult to choose to have these cosmetic surgeries or to go that way. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, it's recognizing that hormone therapies and invasive surgeries alter a child's well-being and their whole bodies for their entire life. Right. These are irreversible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people believe that, for example, a hormone blocker is just buying time.
They think it's a pause on puberty.
That's right. But that actually is not the case. Mm-hmm. In many cases, it sterilizes the child.
Right. So we're talking about putting someone on a puberty blocker at 12, at 13, and thinking if they come off of it later, it'll be totally fine. Mm-hmm. And then at 16, they decide, say this was a biological female. At 16, they decide, oh no, I am a biological female. I feel like I've come into that and really accepted who I am. And then they get to childbearing years and are faced with the repercussions of those decisions so mm-hmm. early on.
Yeah, so early onset menopause, for example.
Right.
Or for a boy who takes a puberty blocker, you know, maybe younger than that, 8, 9, right. 10, because you want to administer something like that well before puberty.
Right.
So then after they should have gone through puberty to try to reverse that, their genitalia is not fully developed. Mm. And likely they'll be sterile. And wow. And so that means not just sterile, but dysfunction.
Right.
And so what we're imposing or suggesting for a hormone blocker for a young child, you know, you remember at age 8 pretending you were
anything,
you know, and
Wonder Woman
and you thought you were a Wonder Woman,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And so a child, the real issue here is children don't know what they're doing. I met with a psychiatrist from Canada a couple of years ago, and she was treating a client who was maybe 16 or 17 who had undergone a double mastectomy. And this young girl came to her saying, "When do my breasts grow back?" She had no idea that the surgery was irreversible. And so, you know, doing this to children, I mean, for some children, there may be a very, very, very small minority of children for whom their gender dysphoria may require special attention, special right. care. But the majority are not in that category.
Well, and we have ages of consent for smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, you know, operating vehicles for reasons like this is because we say, oh, someone under the age of 18 is not mature enough to handle these substances. Why would we say someone under the age of 18 is mature enough to make a permanently a life altering decision that they could really come back to regret years mm-hmm. later?
Yeah. I mean, and we have no idea really what the long-term effects of any of these things will be because this is such a new phenomenon.
Right.
A lot of people are comparing it to lobotomy procedures and things mm-hmm. like that. But okay, so the issue with this legislation is that these kinds of bills have been presented in California's Capitol,
okay.
but the Capitol won't pass them.
Okay.
And so this group of parents got together to form this piece of legislation that is a ballot initiative. It's not like other legislation that we've seen where we've asked people to maybe contact their representative. Do contact your representative.
So it's not something that the politicians are voting on. It's something that the people are voting on if it makes it on the ballot.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so that's what's unique and special about this. And I believe it's an opportunity, particularly for parents who otherwise have felt completely powerless in the yeah. face of what's happening in schools and elsewhere to step up and say, oh, I can do something. And that is at this point to sign the petition to get this act on the ballot this November.
Right.
And then in November to vote for it.
Right.
Right.
So if you're listening to this and you are a California resident and a registered voter, here is how you get involved. You can go to protectkidsca.com mm-hmm. and download the petition. And it has to be a written signature. I don't know why we can't sign it electronically, but we can't. But here's what I'm saying. So many people have said, I feel powerless to this. I don't know how to get involved. I don't know what I can do. You can download this petition. And would you call it a petition?
Yeah. It's a petition.
Yeah. So you would download this petition, you would sign it, and you would send it in. And all of the information that you need about it is on protectkidsca.com. And I want to say that they need 500,000 signatures by April 18th.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on it very quickly. And so we would encourage you to do that. We're going to put the link in the show notes of this episode and encourage you to do that. If you're not a California resident and you've listened to this conversation and you're like, wow, I what can I do? If you know someone who lives in California, and if you know someone who's a registered voter in California, you can send them this podcast episode. You can go to Moral Revolution's social media. We've been sharing posts about it, about how people can get involved. It's a big orange square that says go on the mm-hmm. offense. And so find that post and share it with people that you know who are in the state of California. I am a new resident to California, and when I moved here, there was a common sentiment among people who were like, you're moving to California? Californians have lost their minds. And I said, well, hopefully we'll, you know, go and restore some.
Yeah, and you moved from Texas, which many of us in California think that's the last bastion of hope.
Exactly. Know? Although a ton of Californians are, now migrating to Texas. Mm-hmm. But if you are a parent, if you want to be a parent one day and you can see down the road of how this is going to affect the world that your children grow up in, hey, we just encourage you, take this on, get involved, own this issue, and find your voice. It can be very intimidating in a culture that's so loud with mm-hmm. these ideologies. And it's not just saying this is the way, they're saying this is the way, and if you don't espouse this ideology, you're a bigot or you are hateful. And hey, I just want you to know you have a purpose, and you're called to be courageous on issues of right and wrong, of good and evil, and so we would encourage you, hey, get involved, get in the fight, and join us.
Yeah, very good. Another thing that we have, if you're a pastor, we've got a media kit that you could share if you'd like. You know, so reach out to Moral Revolution, share these posts, get involved, sign the petition, have your friends and family sign the petition and mail that in.
Totally. Yeah, if you want that media kit, you can email us at contact@moralrevolution.com. What's that?
We can put it in the show notes too.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, if you want the media kit, you can email contact@moralrevolution.com. We'll also put that link that email in the show notes. And so you can reach out to us. We'll be happy to send that your way so that you can get your church involved. But again, this is for California voters. So if you're not one, send it to one. And if you are one, download the petition, sign, and let's
get involved.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. I want to have you back on the podcast to go into some more of these issues. You have such an incredible voice and so much wisdom to add. And so we'd love to have you back sometime soon.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.